Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, December 19th, and it is chilly outside, but we're going to warm up today here on Faith and Family. One of my favorites, we're jumping into a new era here on Faith and Family. We've never done this before. We're going to do some cooking, a cooking demonstration here in the studio, and we're going to talk with our friends from the St. Louis District Dairy Council and venture into the perfect cup of hot cocoa to help us warm up here on Faith and Family today. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin in the sponsor section on our website. Go to KFUO.org and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin there. And go check it out. Check out their website and drop them a line. Say thanks for being an underwriter for Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. We're so grateful for their partnership and helping us do what we do here best, and that is to tell the good news of Jesus for 90 years now. So thanks for their partnership, and you, for our listeners, for being with us as well. Joining me in studio today, Laura Morton. She's a registered dietitian and nutrition educator with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. And coming back to Worldwide KFUO, we get to talk on his time from time to time with various topics in nutrition. And Laura, thanks so much for taking on this challenge and coming over and spending some time with us in the studio today.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited and a little nervous.
How could you be nervous with chocolate in the room?
There's also hot plates in the room.
Oh,
so
okay.
That might be why. We'll be careful, though.
This is our first endeavor into a cooking demonstration. When I contacted you and said, would you be willing to give this an attempt, a first try? And you so willingly and graciously said, sure. And then I said, hot chocolate. And man, then you were hooked, right?
Yes, of course. Anything to do with chocolate.
Now, as a nutrition educator, do you often get to talk about hot chocolate? Is that one of the things you get to cover?
You know, surprisingly, this time of year, we do.
Yeah.
Because this is the season for hot chocolate. The holiday season and just the colder weather in general. For me, hot chocolate reminds me of The Polar Express.
Oh,
the
yeah.
book. Are you familiar?
Well, I've seen the movie. I don't know if I've read the book or not, but
okay.
I've seen the movie.
Well, in the book, they talk about hot chocolate as they compare it to melted chocolate bars. That's how they describe it in the book. So that's my vision of hot chocolate.
So that's what hot chocolate should taste like. Melted
yeah, in
chocolate
my
bars.
Opinion, yes.
Now, is this coming from the dietitian's opinion, or
this is coming from the food lover's opinion?
Okay, so what are we doing today? I know we probably need to get started on what we're working on today, and
yes.
we can continue our conversation as we're getting started. So what are we going to tackle today?
Well, the first recipe we'll do isn't the Polar Express recipe. It's going to be a much more simple, versatile, homemade hot chocolate that tastes more like the packet that you
sure.
get, the Swiss Miss packet. So it's not quite as rich. It's something you could have every day.
Uh-huh.
And it's also a great way to get your daily milk intake. So you should just have 3 servings a day
uh-huh.
to get to your daily calcium goals. So this is a great way to meet that recommendation.
Very good. And I'm all for milk. You know, I like to have milk, but it's better when it has chocolate in
it. Yeah, I totally agree. As a dietitian, I agree with that statement.
All right, so we're doing kind of a basic homemade hot chocolate first.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, and this is for one serving.
Okay. One serving, which, you know, sometimes if it's just you sitting around, you can make one serving. It doesn't happen that way in our house. I'll make 2 servings even if it's just me.
Right. And this is very, very easy to double or triple.
All right. So what? Go ahead.
We're going to start out with the basic ingredients. 2 tablespoons of cocoa, 1 tablespoon of sugar. So I know that you said you like to use stevia mm-hmm. or agave at home.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to use agave
okay.
instead of the sugar. And agave is a little bit sweeter than sugar, so we'll just
yeah.
use 1 tablespoon and see how it goes. We can always add more. We're going to add salt. All the good recipes have a little bit of salt. And then any combination of milk, half and half, or cream. So for this first recipe, because it is a very simple one, I'm just going to use 1% milk. And then we'll get into the heavier stuff later on.
Okay, 1%. I can go with that. Yes, since this is the healthier version, the lighter version,
this
I can go with
that. This
is
the one that you could drink, you know, any
yeah.
day. So we're going to start with about 1 cup of milk. And I'm eyeballing it here.
It's radio. It's okay. You can eyeball it.
I'm pretty good at eyeballing, though.
All right. So you said 1% is what we're starting with today?
Yep, that's what we're going to start with.
Okay.
So, and we would let this heat until it bubbles. And then that's the best time to add in your cocoa, because when you're making this at home, cocoa does tend to clump up a little bit.
I have even attempted, you know, when I'm in a hurry, we've got one of those little like single serving blenders that you use for like shakes. What I'll do, I'm sure that from a culinary side, this is just totally the wrong thing to do, but I'll put the cold milk and the cocoa powder and stevia in one of those little blenders and blend it up in that, and then pour it in
the
pan and heat it up just to get it blended. But you're right. If you get it to, I agree with you. If you let the milk bubble first, it's easier to get the cocoa to mix in.
Yeah, but it's a good idea to put in your blender, because then you can get a nice frothy, like a coffee shop type.
Yeah.
Taste to it.
Okay, so you put in, you've got the milk, added some cocoa and some agave.
Also eyeballing the agave. Oh, it smells good already.
How do you choose your cocoa for this recipe?
So I use natural cocoa for this recipe, which is definitely the most common. It's what you're going to find most easily on the shelf.
Yeah.
But you could also use Dutch processed cocoa, which is a little bit darker and has a stronger chocolate flavor to it. But either way, you're going to get, I mean, they're pretty much interchangeable. You'll get a slightly different result, but they're both delicious.
Now, I went to one of the shops here in the St. Louis area, one of the spice shops. What is the one down?
Penzies?
Yes. And they had a cocoa specifically for making hot cocoa. It was
really?
Like a high fat cocoa or something like that.
Yeah. My parents always have that. My mom is a big baker and she always has it. So normally when you have the cocoa powder, they extract the fat. But the high fat cocoa powder has some of that cocoa butter mixed in, like a powderized form of it.
See, I never knew that it would have fat in it. And then I felt guilty about buying something called high fat cocoa, but it sure does taste pretty good.
Oh, it's really rich tasting. I should have brought some of that in, because that would be delicious in hot cocoa.
So there are certainly different types of cocoa that you can use when it comes to like the cocoa powders and options. And each one kind of has a different flavor or different essence to it.
Yeah,
like.
Definitely. I mean, I'm all for the regular cocoa powder from the grocery store shelf, but really the higher quality, the cocoa powder, like if you went to Penzies and got a cocoa powder there, you'd probably get a richer flavor and probably more antioxidant value. There's a lot of nutrition in cocoa powder.
Antioxidants. There you go. That's what makes it worth it, right?
Yes. it's true.
Yeah.
I read a study before when I was prepping for this.
Yeah.
That cocoa has more antioxidants than red wine, double the antioxidants than those that are found in red wine.
Well, there you go.
So that's, you know, that's an excuse right there.
Hot cocoa and antioxidants. We've got some other folks hanging out in the studio here today. They're just like, they're like lions waiting for this. We've got folks here waiting. They're smelling the hot cocoa. Gary's in here taking pictures, our director of operations, and Reverend Rod Zwanitzer, our director of broadcast here, just observing. And now you're a chef extraordinaire, aren't you?
I'm ready to consume.
I think you said two of his favorite things. You said, are you a red wine or a red? Yeah, see, he likes antioxidants too, whether they come
good.
In cocoa or red wine.
Most of us do, a little bit.
All right, now, did I see you add something else? Or were you just adding more cocoa?
So what I added was about a quarter of a teaspoon of cornstarch to thicken, which is totally optional, but it will thicken it up to give it more of a richer texture.
Yeah.
Because I used the low fat milk, so it
kind of balance it out.
Adds out up for that.
Very good. Now, how long you wait till the milk kind of bubbles before you put in the cocoa, and then what's your rule of thumb here until you, how do you know that it's ready as you keep, I see you're stirring over there with the whisk.
Yes, I'm stirring because this cocoa was clumping pretty good for me, but it's good now. I'll let it sit and it'll bubble around the edges, and that's
when it's ready.
Scientific way of telling you when it's ready.
Very good. So you mentioned that hot cocoa can have antioxidants, the higher in fat probably has more antioxidants in it. Other health benefits to cocoa?
Cocoa used to be used as almost a supplement.
Yeah.
Like to sustain energy, kind of like the original energy drink. There is some caffeine in cocoa, so that might be where that came from. But historically, that's what it's been used for. So it's an energy drink.
So, you know, you run a race and then drink a Yoo-Hoo afterwards?
right. I don't know if Yoo-Hoo has the highest content of cocoa, but It's actually the flavonoids. I was trying to remember that word that are found in cocoa. That's the antioxidant that's present. So it helps prevent blood clots. So it's a heart healthy option, just like red wine is.
I've got my list running here of all the reasons I should be drinking hot cocoa on a regular basis now. Antioxidants, flavonoids.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go home with this list now. Yeah. Not that it takes much to convince my wife that I should have hot cocoa every night, but...
It's a tradition. I've been doing it seriously almost every day.
When the temperature drops like this, when it gets down in the 30s, it's almost mandatory.
How about the nutritional value of peppermint schnapps in there?
Well, that'll add a little bit of Christmas flair.
That's what I would do.
Nothing wrong there. I do want to talk quickly about the packets of hot cocoa, because they are so convenient.
Uh-huh.
But they usually have a lot of... cocoa is usually listed pretty far down on the list of ingredients, which means... There isn't that much in it. And there's also a lot of sugar, usually corn syrup solids, and then a lot of additives to thicken it. So they're really convenient, but I recommend just doing it at home because it's pretty easy. I mean, we're done here. We're just waiting for it to heat up.
Wow.
So that's all it takes.
So it really was quite simple. Just a few ingredients. And ripping open a packet is pretty easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't take long at all.
No, and you'll get much more of a chocolate flavor from this because we use 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder in 1 serving, whereas the packets would probably have closer to a teaspoon.
So when you're trying to weigh out convenience versus nutrition and just a healthier choice, are there ways to make this simpler? Could you mix up like the cocoa and maybe I guess a sweetener or something like that cocoa and sugar or whatever you're choosing for your sweetener, mix those up in little like baggies or something in advance, I guess?
Oh, definitely. And I have a recipe here for it's more of a bulk make-ahead cocoa recipe, so it has the powdered milk already in it.
Uh-huh.
All you would have to do would be to add hot water to it.
Well, that's a great idea.
So that makes it really easy. I mean, it takes a little bit of prep.
Yeah.
But
sure,
it's just as simple.
So when you make a big batch all at once, then you can make your batch for the month or whatever for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you can keep it in the pantry for months at a time, and it'll keep for you.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, so does anyone want to try this? Bubbling a little bit?
I don't think
it's scalding hot, but it's...
Sure. Very good. We'll have to give this a taste. So,
okay, and this is just for 1 serving? So
but we
we'll
can share.
Fight over it.
We can share.
Who needs the flavonoids the most?
oh, look, they're coming in the studio. We can do samples. Our next guest is also hiding out in the wings here, too. We're going to talk with Kevin Reisick in the second segment from Arch Fitness in East Alton, Illinois. So he looks like he's ready to... He's a hot cocoa fan as well, ready to try some. I'll let you guys... they're coming by the droves into the studio when they hear hot cocoa. Everybody comes running. How is it?
Rich.
Can you smell it? I don't know if it's because I'm standing over
flavor.
It, but it has a deep chocolate scent to
deep
it.
Chocolate, yes, that's nice.
When you're tasting hot cocoa, do you treat it like you do a good wine and give it a good
swirl it? You do it. Yeah,
There's probably an etiquette to it that I should know.
Pinky out.
All right, there's one left. Who wants it? Kevin?
You'll get the next one.
Oh, okay. Notice we started with the healthy one first, which means we're working to the more decadent. So Kevin's holding out for the decadent stuff here.
Yeah, and if it's okay, I'll go straight to the decadent one. I have the simple make-ahead easy cocoa recipe in between, but I'll go straight to the decadent one, which is actually called hot chocolate. And there is a difference.
There's a difference between hot chocolate and hot cocoa.
And I didn't know this. Did anybody else know this?
I did not, but...
It's really, really simple. I feel like I should have known it. But hot chocolate is made with chocolate, and hot cocoa is made with just the cocoa powder.
Just the cocoa powder.
Yeah.
So the difference is the chocolate...
The process, is it not?
Yeah, the fat is removed.
Yeah.
So it's so just the pure chocolate flavor. But the hot chocolate has the cocoa powder mixed with... cocoa butter, so it's the bar form of chocolate, and usually sugar too. You could use the baker's unsweetened, but I used the sweetened.
The Dutch method of processing is different from a lot of the others, is it not?
Yes. Dutch processed cocoa is more neutralized, so it has lower pH to get really specific, and it has a milder flavor. It's also darker in color.
Yeah.
So it makes your baked goods look pretty. That's natural processed cocoa. Process.
Mm-hmm. It's rich, though.
Yeah, it has a good flavor to it still, definitely.
We've got just a few minutes left. Probably about 8 minutes or so. Do you think we can do this next one?
Next guest. Let's just...
Poor Kevin.
We can do this.
You're welcome to stick around and keep making hot cocoa while Kevin talks, too. I'm sure he would certainly welcome that.
How to get rid of too much of the flavonoids after you...
I'm afraid after drinking this, Kevin's going to make me do push-ups today.
Among other things.
I did my workout this morning.
There you go.
I got in my workout.
Here?
Yeah, Kevin's hanging out over here. So there's a difference between cocoa and chocolate, and now we're starting on the more decadent one with as hot chocolate, as you said.
Yes.
So what are we starting with this time around?
We're going to start with, I eyeballed it. This one we're going to use whole milk for.
Now you're my friend.
And I pretty much just filled up this pot, but about four cups is what the recipe calls for.
Uh-huh. Whole milk.
I want to make sure everyone can try some of this one.
You're talking my language here. Now, does this involve bacon? Because you said chocolate and whole milk. If you put bacon in it, I think you would have like the perfect trifecta here.
Somewhere it probably does involve bacon.
There is a restaurant here in St. Louis that has a chocolate ice cream made, I believe, with real cream and little bits of bacon in it. Just that salty sweet. I know it sounds disgusting to many people.
It sounds fantastic to me.
But it's a chocolate, a really creamy ice cream with little bitty crumbles of bacon.
I just did a ice cream for the wild meat gourmet meal that I do every year.
Oh, yeah?
Maple bourbon bison bacon ice cream.
Bison?
Yeah, that's...
And everybody was trying to, after consuming a little bit, it was... And we had a whole night of wine, and I was trying to say it real fast, and it was hilarious.
Bacon certainly can make things better, but we're not putting bacon in the hot chocolate today.
No, I didn't think about that ahead of time, so
that's
I'm not
right.
prepared with bacon today.
So the cornstarch again for
just a little.
Yeah, I used just a little bit in this one because this will have chocolate in it. I'll go through the ingredients really quick. It's a simple recipe. 8 ounces of chocolate, so that's 2 4-ounce bars. You could use Hershey's chocolate. I used dark chocolate here. So it's quite a bit of chocolate. 8 ounces, it's a lot. it's
yes.
pretty good. The four dark cups chocolate. Of whole milk, the recipe also says, or half and half.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how wild you're feeling. A tablespoon of brown sugar, which it only needs a little bit of extra sweetener because the chocolate is already sweetened, and brown sugar gives it a little bit more depth.
Mm.
A pinch of salt and just a little bit of cornstarch. I put about a teaspoon in.
Now, let's say you're one of those rare people this time of year. You need more calories. Could you add just a little bit of cream to it?
Yeah, definitely. There are those people in the world that do need the extra calories. So by all means, add the cream. And one of the good things about milk is if you wanted to use a lower fat milk for this, no matter what type of milk you're using, all the nutrients are the
sure.
same. The same amount of calcium, the same amount of protein. All they do is remove the fat. So with some products, you remove the fat, you put in a lot of sugar.
Uh-huh.
But with milk, it's not that the case. It's a thinner product,
sure.
but that's all they've done is remove the fat.
But
we're
today
keep
we'll
the
stick
fat
with
there
the, whole, the whole milk. We have a 15-month at home, so we have plenty of whole milk in our house. Keep him well stocked with that. Oh my.
Here comes the goods.
I pre-chopped it, so we didn't have to do any of that. But this is what 8 ounces of chocolate looks like, and it's a lot of chocolate.
Oh my, yeah. it covers the bottom of a full zipper bag.
Yeah, this is a gallon Ziploc bag, so that's quite a bit there.
Now, Gary was in here snapping some photos just a little bit ago. We're going to post them on Facebook in a little bit so folks can at least see. If they can't taste, they can at least see what's going on here in this studio today. And perhaps maybe we could share the recipes later on. I don't know if you have them on your website, or we can share them on Facebook, wherever. We'll try to find a way to share them with the archive of the program
today. Yes, we'll share them. I'll put them up on our Facebook page, which is stldairycouncil.org.
Very good.
If anyone wanted more information, they could also email me. My email address is lmorton, like Morton Salt, MORTON. At stldairycouncil.org.
Very good. And we'll provide a link to that to your Facebook page as well with today's archive of the program later on. So
that would be
folks
great.
can go to our website and find it that way as well.
Yes, and you're going to want to find the recipe, especially for this hot chocolate.
Do we need to put a guard up? Kevin keeps getting closer and closer to the chocolate here, the hot chocolate.
I'll be sure to give you a sample of this one.
Thank you. Now, Kevin, did you know that there was a difference between hot cocoa and hot chocolate?
No, but it seemed pretty basic when she
I know,
explained that.
It seems like something that we all should have known.
It's funny. I actually I asked for a hot chocolate maker for Christmas.
Yeah.
So this is kind of fitting in very nicely with what's going on.
Well, perfect.
And like, see, your Christmas wish came early.
Yes, this is great. So hopefully this isn't my only Christmas present.
One day only.
Yes. So. And I was telling you before, my wife actually, you were talking about the bulk powder. My wife made that for, like I was saying before, for a lot of my son's teachers and stuff like that. So it's a wonderful
It's a great Christmas gift idea. Yeah.
Right.
To give them that.
And it looks good. Did you put it in like a mug or a jar or something?
Yeah, exactly. That's what she
did. Where you layer it in the jars. Yeah, that makes a great gift, too.
It's very impressive, but also really easy and really economical, too.
A couple of airplane bottles of chocolate, right?
You can add whatever you want to it.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, it's a nice festive gift.
Definitely.
Now, did you just add more chocolate to the hot chocolate?
Just the 8 ounces. I did it in two batches, though.
I see.
I'm not sneaking any extras in there.
That just helps maybe in the melting process to stage it like that?
Yeah, a little. I don't want it to burn. Chocolate burns really easily, fast, sure. Yeah. I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
So this keeps it from sticking to the bottom. But it looks like it's about ready.
Oh, man. Kevin, you passed on the first round, so you get first dibs on this round.
I knew this was coming.
Man.
Really, the cocoa powder adds a really concentrated chocolate flavor. This one just adds a really rich flavor.
Now, when you said chocolate, did you say baker's chocolate? What kind of chocolate did you use for this?
For this, I used, I found all the grocery stores have German chocolate now for the holidays, so I got a 5 ounce bar of dark German chocolate and then a 3 ounce bar of milk. So it's a little bit of milk chocolate, a little bit of dark chocolate.
Mm.
But it should have a pretty good chocolate flavor to it either way.
I enjoyed the lighter, healthier version. And I have to confess, I'm not normally a 1% milk drinker. I did back in the day, but ever since we started having whole milk around the house more,
yeah, you don't want to buy two different kinds.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It's just easier just to buy more whole milk. And for a lighter version, it's good. The chocolate makes up for the thinner milk, so I will give you that.
Maybe just to prevent any spills around this equipment.
Oh, that's all right. Ooh. We'll get it.
Okay, give that one a taste, and we'll see if it's warm enough. We have some good sizzle sound effects.
Yeah, from the hot plate there.
Ooh.
How is it, Kevin?
Delicious.
Yeah.
Is it warm?
It's warm, yeah.
Okay.
It can get a little hotter, but it's
we'll continue.
It's very
good. For time's sake, yeah. Now, as we're continuing to heat up this a little bit more, and we can share with the staff as we go on to the next segment here. Laura, other things about hot chocolate, hot cocoa that are beneficial? This helps you get your dairy in for the day,
right,
as we were mentioning earlier.
Right. I always recommend making hot cocoa with milk. No matter, even if it's the kind from the packet where you can just add water, you might as well just add milk, because it kind of takes it from sugar water to a little bit of nutrient value. Then you still have, you get your calcium and protein, really high quality protein and healthy fats, depending on what type of milk you're using.
So you're redeeming this treat
a little bit.
Although
nutrients
we made
a guilt-free version.
Yeah,
but
that's great.
If you were to use the store-bought kind, I would always recommend milk. There are dark chocolate versions now in stores that are really, really good. And they say right on the box, you have to make this with milk, preferably at least 2%. like, that's what the box says. It's a Swiss Miss brand. They're really, really tasty. And their cocoa is their main ingredient. So if you're going to go store-bought, I recommend that kind. But it's really simple and super affordable to do at home.
So if you're going to go with a pre-made packet, go with the kind where the cocoa is higher on the list of ingredients.
Yes, it all comes down to label reading so many times.
So
the list of ingredients is as short as possible. You can recognize all the words. Cocoa's probably one or two.
Yeah.
I recommend that.
Very good. Well, we are out of time in terms of this topic, but I'm sure the staff will welcome you to hang out and continue sharing your hot cocoa with you. Rod is shaking his head, nodding his head. Laura, thank you so much for coming in today, bringing all your equipment, toting it over today, and sharing these great recipes with us. And we can point folks to the St. Louis District Dairy website and Facebook page as well. What's the website again?
The website is stldairycouncil.org.
Very good. stldairycouncil.org. And you can also find him on Facebook. Look for the St. Louis District Dairy Council on Facebook as well. We'll share the recipes on there. Go to the Facebook page for KFUO today, and you'll see some pictures from our time in the studio as well. Thanks so much for being our guest today, Laura Morton.
Thank you for having
registered
me.
Dietitian, nutrition educator with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. You win a Come Back Anytime You Want award. So.
Gladly.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with Kevin Reisick. Get some tips on how to stay fit through the holidays while I guzzle down my hot cocoa here. How to stay fit, how to make some healthy choices through the holidays as well, so that we don't regret it come January 1st. So stick around for more conversation right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Jonathan Gruber, one of the architects of Obamacare, recently gained fame by repeatedly calling Americans stupid. The guy's also on record repeatedly advocating abortion to save money on government-controlled health care. He co-authored a paper which says abortion has saved taxpayers billions that would have been spent on welfare. He says abortion's a social good because it results in fewer marginal children. Who are these humans Gruber calls marginal? It's poor urban kids, he says, who grow up to commit crimes if allowed to live. He claims killing poor urban unborn babies will save money and decrease crime. What a horrible elitist thing to say. This clearly shows the menacing agenda of Obamacare to rid society of poor, mostly minority populations.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
This is a newly born radio station, KFUO.
Those were the first words spoken on KFUO. But before those words could even be broadcast, it took a group of volunteers and supporters to cover the cost of constructing our very first radio facility.
On this occasion, we also wish to express our hearty thanks to all Christians who have given or pledged their contributions toward the erection and upkeep of this station.
Since those historic words, KFUO has relied on supporters to bring us through our first 90 years. And KFUO continues to need your support to move forward into our next. Will you prayerfully consider supporting the worldwide outreach of KFUO with a gift today? For a suggested gift of $90 or more, we'll say thank you with a collector's edition 90th anniversary I Lutheran t-shirt. To give your gift, contact Joni or Mary at 314-996-1512. Thank you for your continued support and prayers for worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Have you ever missed a live broadcast of one of your favorite KFUO programs? Well, let me propose a convenient solution for you. Visit the KFUO website, kfuo.org, and download your favorite program by way of podcast to your iPhone or other smart device. It's easy, it's simple, it's convenient, and you'll never miss another program. KFUO, the official voice of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the messenger of good news by way of radio, web, and podcast.
When God makes a promise, things change. When God says you're mine, nothing in this world can change that. When God says your past is forgiven because of my work for you, nothing in this world can take that away. And when God says your future is in my hands, you can begin to act with confidence and certainty about that right now.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and enjoying my nice hot cocoa here in the studio. Joining me in the studio today to help me burn off the calories from the decadent hot cocoa. I only had like 2 teaspoons of it.
I think I had more than you.
Kevin Reisig, owner of Arch Fitness in East Alton, Illinois. Did I get that right?
Yes.
And also, you have a background in Your background in human performance?
Yeah, and athletic training and strength and conditioning.
And so you've come on before and helped us address some of these topics of taking care of our bodies, being good stewards of the gift of our bodies. And really, I learned a lot that day. And I told you that you weren't allowed to make me do any exercises in the studio as part of the program. But now that we've done a live cooking demonstration in studio, I kind of feel like we've kind of broken that wall and you're going to try to make me do jumping jacks or something this morning. But
we might have to go there, but we'll see.
When I'm sure come January, you get a bunch of new clients, everybody thinking, oh, okay, New Year's resolution. I'm ready to start. It's a new year. I'm going to, you know, lose that 10 pounds. I'm going to lose that 5 pounds, that 30 pounds, whatever it is. And I'm going to start over. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And that always happens every January. We see all kinds of gyms offering, great specials on memberships and that sort of thing. But looking at it from this side of things, not waiting until January, but instead how to make it through the holidays, making it through buffet upon buffet, decadent dessert upon decadent dessert. How do we make it through? And long car rides, you know, some of us are traveling, you know, 5 hours or more in a car, sitting all day on, 2 days out of the whole week, you know, sitting in a car all day. How do we make it through these holidays and not regret it a couple days later, not regret it 3 weeks later? How do we make it through these holidays? So we invited Kevin to come talk about these things.
Well, Andy, I think the number one thing is to have a plan.
Yeah.
Go into it with a plan. I think the number one thing, you talk about buffets and stuff like that. A lot of people, when they get to a buffet, the food is out and they just continually go back and go back and go back. And even worse, when you have that family environment and you have the family sitting, when the food is just sitting right in front of you on the table, where after a while, you just go ahead and keep picking at the food because it's there and you're talking and it's something to do while you're enjoying
your time. You described my life to a T.
So the number one thing is have a plan. I think if you're the host, I think you can make a lot of adjustments to the way that you handle the nutritional side of things.
Uh-huh.
Instead of having a bunch of casseroles, maybe limit the casseroles that you're having and make more fresh vegetables instead of the green bean casserole. Just go with regular green beans. Simple things like that to get you through. I think there are other things that you can do as well, is make time to exercise. Put that as part of your plan. Everyone is, going in all different directions.
Yeah.
With, Christmas shopping, with visiting relatives and all that. But you got to make that part of your plan. And then the next thing is have someone to hold you accountable. Let a friend know that, hey, I'm going into this, or a family member going into this season that I'm trying to maintain weight, lose weight. just not gain weight right now.
Who tries to lose weight at Christmas? Let's be honest. Nobody tries to lose weight at Christmas unless you have a specific goal to meet in January. But yes,
that's true. We're all in hibernation mode. You know, the sun's going down early. So, you know, it's like, oh, we want that comfort food. We want that warm comfort food. But we need to make sure that we're being held accountable. And the best way to do that is to have a friend or a family member. And if you inform them what your plan is, yeah, then they can help you implement that plan. So if your plan is to limit yourself to one helping of the meal that you're having that day, well, make sure that they know that so that they can watch you and be like, hey, remember what your plan was. So hold you accountable. So I think those are a few things that you can get right away that'll make things very simple in regards to trying to handle those goals that you're looking for without that weight gain.
A plan, have a plan, and have someone to help you be accountable.
Yeah, I think those are the two main things. The other thing, when you talk about traveling, I think, once again, have a plan. What you want to do is, if you're going to be traveling, you're going to be in car for a while, you want to do a couple of things. Number one, you want to bring your own food as you're traveling. Don't think that, oh, I'll just hit a fast food place on the way. Pack your own snacks, you know, good nuts, granola, stuff like that. Or even, you know, sandwiches or whatever you want to have on the road, but make it before you go, pre-make it so that you're not just tempted to stop at a fast food restaurant where you're not going to get the nutritional value of the food that you have and that you need. The second thing is, if you're traveling a long ways, definitely schedule time to stop and get out of the car, walk around. It's a great opportunity if you know where, you know, if you're going a long distance to look at little stops in between, to see if there's maybe some other things that you might want to see on your way as part of your trip, you know, so you're not just destination and come home.
Sure.
So you can get out and see the sights of what's there, get out and walk around, you know, just get out of the car a little bit and not be in that mode of sitting down and eating chips in your car.
See the world's largest bottle of ketchup.
Yes. Why not? You know, you can see that big sodium bottle right there. So I think those are great things that you can do. The one that we had mentioned was also make time for exercise as part of your original goals. And make sure that people know that that's a priority in your life. And I think people, when people know that's a priority in your life for the long term, they won't hold you away from it.
Sure.
So that's another thing to do.
This year, we started a new tradition in our family. In the past, all of our, like, you know, a couple of generations got together, and all of my mom's sisters used to take turns hosting Thanksgiving, and we would just get together and sit around all day and eat. You know, the meal was served at one, but we were together probably, you know, 6 hours or more eating the big buffet of dinner and then the even larger buffet of desserts. And we just sit around all day eating. And this year, we started a new tradition with the next generation. And we got together. We instead of hosting dinner this year, we actually made reservations, which was unusual for us. We went to a really nice place. I got to go to the College of the Ozarks this year for Thanksgiving dinner. Nice. And support some students who work for this Thanksgiving buffet. You have to make your reservations pretty far in advance to get in on this, but they do some great things there. The interesting thing about that, though, is you don't then have all these leftovers for days after.
Right.
Which actually was beneficial. I'm not a big fan of turkey to begin with. I know it's a white meat and it's probably a healthier choice, but I'm not a big fan of it, so I don't care if we have leftovers of turkey or not. So we went to this buffet for Thanksgiving dinner, and it worked out well. They actually had some really healthy choices. They had smoked salmon and some other great things, some seafood and things that I enjoyed. And so then I didn't fill up on the stuffing. And I felt like it, much healthier. And I have to back up. And another tradition that we start, well, a new thing that we did this year, we started off with a turkey trot that morning.
There you go. Yeah, definitely. And those are everywhere.
Yeah.
And you have opportunities to do those. They're in every city, every nook and cranny of every city that you can find. That's a wonderful way to start your Thanksgiving. And they even have not Christmas Day things, but they have Christmas weekend type activities that you can do as well. One of the things, when you talk about leftovers, another thing that you can do is, when it comes to your baking of your desserts and stuff, what I suggest people doing is, if you know how many people are coming, first plan for the people that are coming. Don't plan for at leftovers. You know, that's the first thing. Just don't plan. Everyone thinks, oh, the leftovers are the best part, so I'm going to make a bunch just so I can have leftovers. Plan with who's coming, the correct amount of food. And then when it comes to baked goods, what we like to do is, my wife loves to bake. She loves to make cookies and stuff. So make the cookies. Luckily, I'm not a big cookie eater myself, but that makes it tougher for her because you make a big batch. What you do is just give it to friends or neighbors, cut that recipe, do that recipe, and then divide it into different parts and hand it to the neighbors around the around town, and you know, give a little blessing to them in that way. Plus, you're just passing on your calories that you're going to give to somebody else. So I guess there's a...
I see how it works. You hand out cookies and then suddenly you have a great deal in memberships at the gym,
that
right?
That is correct. Yep. You got to feed your own
put a
fire.
Coupon in with
yep,
the cookies.
Exactly. So
just kidding.
But I think that's a great way to do it is to, first of all, cook to the amount of people that are coming.
Yeah.
But then if you have a bunch of leftovers, share that with other people, with needy people that...
Sure.
That just need that kind of stuff. So throughout the holidays.
So don't plan for tons of leftovers. If you do have leftovers, share them.
Correct.
Don't keep them all in your house so that then you feel obligated to eat them because you don't want to waste the food.
Right. And what you also said with that buffet that you went to, since you didn't have leftovers, the one other thing you can do is, and this is what our family does not do well, is the appetizer type stuff. You know, you just have stuff sitting around. In your house, just there, you know, you have the candies, the cookies, the pies, and all that kind of stuff. You have like the trays of meat and cheese, you know, and then you have like this tiny little veggie tray, you know.
If I feel like you've been watching me, so, like you know everything about my holidays.
Well, I think it's just typical, you know. And take those away, you know. Put them in the fridge. Make them not as accessible.
Yeah.
Because if they're accessible, people are going to... I mean, I know I will. It's every time I walk by, I'm going to pick up a salami and pick up a piece of cheese and go to town, you know? And I'm going to walk by it like about 15 times because I'm running around chasing my five-year-old. And that's good exercise.
Yeah.
But probably not a good way to accommodate for that.
Sure.
So that's another thing that you can do is make sure that you spend... Schedule activities with your kids that you can do if you have kids, or get outside. We always get out on Thanksgiving, and me and my brothers-in-laws, we'll go out and throw the football around,
yeah.
You know, or we'll go to a gym and shoot hoops and stuff like that, you know. So always find time to create an activity of some sort. Play charades. I mean, even something as simple as that, so that you're active and taking yourself away from the pleasures of food.
And it sounds like you do things that allow multiple generations to be involved when you're being active. Because that was one of my questions. When you have children, small children, you mentioned, you know, five-year-old, when you have young children, how does that play into this picture of trying to stay active or trying to get some exercise during these days that normally we would just sit around and eat and eat and eat?
Well, number one, I think we want to make an we want to create an example for our kids growing up. So you want to try and find those activities. Number two, the best thing to do is just follow a five-year-old around, if you have one, do what they do and see how tired you get and how quickly you get that tired. So for them, activity is easy. For us is where it's hard. But if we schedule that time to actually be involved with their lives and stuff, go out, get, you know, if it's snowing, get the sled out, hike up the hill, do all that. If you're over the age of doing that, you know, if you're beyond that type of scope and can't do that activity, then you need to make sure that you're scheduling the time that you need for yourself, whether it be going for a walk, you know, after the meal or pre-meal, so that you feel a little bit better about what you're doing. I think there's plenty of opportunities to get out and be active for sure. And people just have to make it part of their day.
You know, I think a great schedule, a typical or an easy schedule for Thanksgiving Day, do a 5K, a turkey trot in the morning, even if you're just walking it. That's fine. Get out and do that exercise. Then go to a Thanksgiving service at your church. Truly what Thanksgiving is all about, giving thanks. And then have that time. That time for you know, gathering around the meal, and that still gives you some time to do some prep too, and or if you go out to a buffet, even better, then you don't have to do the prep.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, that's one thing that my family does really well is they do all the prep stuff days before, day or two before, get the turkey all cooked up, do all that, so everything's ready to go when we're ready. The
only
bad part about that is, since it's already ready, there's going to be plenty of it just sitting around waiting for us. But since that is planned ahead, like you said, then you can create that time for activities, whether it be doing a turkey trot or there's Santa runs and stuff like that. And there's plenty of opportunities in the community to find something, or within your family itself. Create new traditions, you know, the tradition of going for a walk.
Yeah, that's a great
a
idea.
Or after a meal. Or, you know, doing something else. Just around that, what we did a couple times is we got those, my mother-in-law tends to get us boys young toys, even though we're older. So we had those little marshmallow guns that you, and we got so tired doing that, that, you know, it didn't make a difference, but find ways to stay active for sure.
Yeah.
Even if that means, just going outside, building a snowman, you know, mm-hmm. if that's what it is, or, get outside, go for a walk, you know, make it be an example to your kids and to your grandkids that, healthy choices are a smart move.
Instead of spending the whole time in front of the TV, you can just make one change even this year.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier, you know, chasing your 5-year-old around or playing with the children. I found that just getting down on my son's level is more of a workout. You know, just getting down on his level, that means I'm down on all, you know, hands and knees, crawling around, which makes it more of a workout. Just running, you know, crawling around the space makes it more of a workout on hands and knees.
Oh yeah. My 5-year-old will just get in a little squat and sit there for, you know, 30, 40 minutes. And I get down there trying to do that after a while. I'm like falling out, but just follow him around, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, there was even a study done. I think it was a professional hockey player they put him in a room with I think it was a 7-year-old, and the hockey player had to do everything the 7-year-old did for, you know, 30 minutes or an hour or something like that. And the professional hockey player fell out, couldn't keep up with a 7-year-old just doing regular stuff around a room. So there are plenty of things you can do. If you want, you could even make it a point to, if you have stairs in your house, climb the stairs, you know, do it for like 10 minutes, mm-hmm. up and down the stairs for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or whatever it might be. Walking a mile usually takes the average person about a half hour at the most, you know, between 20 minutes to a half hour. Go walk a mile. Walk your dogs. Your dogs need the activity as well, mm-hmm. or whatever you might have. Push your kids in the stroller if you have a younger one. Find time to create activities for yourself while at the same time, having control over your dietary intake.
Sure.
Everything in moderation. Find things that, you know, try everything. I'm not saying, you know, get away from doing everything, because you want to enjoy, you know, the times that you have to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But have, you know, a smaller slice of pie and only have one slice and don't add the ice cream or whatever it might be, so that you can actually still enjoy it, but not feel guilty about it the next day.
Yeah. We talked about traveling a little bit earlier. Let's go back to that. Say you've got a 5-hour drive or a 6-hour drive, a day's drive, basically. Sure. You know, some may have longer, the 20-hour drive. But say you just have a day's drive at the beginning and at the end of your vacation or break. And so that means two days out of that week or 4 days, whatever it is, are spent in the car. You recommended, when it comes to food, planning ahead by bringing your own food along with you, planning your snacks, your healthy choices, pack those in advance so that you have them with you, so you're not as tempted to stop at those places that I mean, because that's kind of a double whammy. If you're going to a Christmas family gathering where you're going to eat probably more than you typically would, yeah. and on the way you eat, make some unhealthy choices, and on the way back,
yes,
you make some unhealthy choices. That's like, you know, the trifecta there.
Yeah, it's just adding up. So, and the best thing to do is make sure when you do your packing is pack it in, one serving increment, mm-hmm. type things. You know, if you're gonna pack a thing of nuts, don't get a whole big jar of nuts and be like, oh yeah, I can do this. And then all of a sudden the jar of nuts is gone and you defeated the purpose of packing your own snacks. So utilize, you know, individual bags and stuff like that to mm-hmm. set your serving size to the appropriate level as well. And it makes your whole entire trip mm-hmm. so much easier when you do stuff like that, because then you're not feeling guilty about it. You know, you're eating healthier. You also feel better about your drive. You're not going to get as tired when you're driving, which is obviously something you don't want to do.
Right.
And you can enjoy your time with your family a lot more.
Sure. So. And it might encourage, making it a little more lively might encourage some conversation in the car too.
Yes, definitely. Which is, you know, what is missing most of the time in our family lives lately. So we need to have time where we can have actual conversation, not watch the TV. And when you get wrapped up in conversation, you'll find yourself not eating, When you're zoned in on a TV, the first thing you do is you grab a bag of chips. The next thing you know, the bag of chips is gone. And it's only been like, 20 minutes into a TV show or whatever, a football game or whatever. Spend time with the family, talk with them, interact with your family. And next thing you know, you're not going to have any of those worries.
One, you mentioned earlier also about making some stops when you're traveling, not just for food, but I would gather to do some stretching and get out and move around.
Yeah.
I came across something this year that I thought was a neat idea. I saw some this thing. Perhaps you've seen it. It's called Play Out the Game. Mm-hmm. Instead of Workout, it's Play Out. Mm-hmm. It's a deck of cards, and they're probably similar products too, where it's just a deck of cards with different exercises that you can do anywhere.
Yep.
And I saw some pictures of the makers of this on Facebook. They were apparently traveling, I guess, to different places where they were promoting their product. There were pictures of them like at gas stations doing like squats outside the car at the gas station, or doing lunges across the parking lot.
Yeah.
You might look kind of funny, but those are things that you mentioned, stopping to stretch or move around or just to wake up. Those are things I guess you could do too, just to
It makes it a fun thing too, and how in today's world, all the social media, it's always nice to have. I mean, there was that whole thing where people would, get in a plank position or, be in that dead position and they take pictures. It's just another opportunity to make it fun for your kids or your family or something. A whole family doing squats or lunges at one point and taking a picture of it, getting a selfie of yourself doing that. It empowers you because it holds yourself. It also is another way to hold yourself accountable. We do stuff like that at my gym. We have a deck of cards and we use it as numbers. Mm-hmm. And it's okay, we pick an exercise and you slap down the card and you got 10 squats or whatever. And you slap down another card, you got this exercise. And you have to do those number of exercises. So you can vary it in any way. I think that's a wonderful idea to get out of the car. And it could be, it's stuff that you can do anywhere, push-ups, squats, lunges, anything that you can think of. But if you have it in playing cards, then you don't have to think about it. Yeah. It's all something that is just done for you. So.
And if it's freezing cold, it's motivation to do it all the quicker.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes, exactly. Get in, get out, do your exercise, come back in. But it's a wonderful tool. Yeah, especially on the road. Wonderful tool to use. Yeah.
Great ideas. Let's go back and recap what we started with your suggestion. Start with a plan.
Yes.
Have a plan. Know how you're going to approach. Have a philosophy. Have an approach to how you're going to approach these holidays. If your goal is to make it through the holidays without gaining, or just to maintain, or if your goal is to lose, I don't think anybody wants to come into the holidays have a goal of gaining any weight, unless it's muscle. maybe their goal is to gain muscle.
That's true.
To have a plan, have an approach to it. Second, you said, I believe, was have someone hold you accountable.
Correct. Yes.
Choose someone and let them know. Talk with them about
it. Yeah, definitely. Let them know what your plan is beforehand, because if you get there and you didn't tell them about it, then they can't hold you accountable. Do it with a family member, do it with a friend, or whatever it might be. In today's society nowadays, you can be texting back and forth of what you've been eating or whatever. So you can have a friend that's a remote friend.
Here's a picture of the entire pie I just ate.
Yes, exactly.
I already do that. But
yes. So you want to have someone to hold yourself accountable for it, for sure. And then also, everything in moderation, for sure. We want to make sure that you're not stepping over your bounds, one helping, don't go back for seconds. If you have a choice of when you cook your meals, make it so that you're cooking it for that specific amount of people, not for double that, just so you can have leftovers. I mean, there's a lot of key points here.
Well, we're just about out of time. I want to point folks to how to follow up, and if they want to get in touch with you or find out more about Arch Fitness, how can they find out more about that?
Best way is to check us out on Facebook. Go to Arch Fitness on Facebook and friend us there. And you can get all of our updates and stuff there. Also, you can always give a call to Arch Fitness. Our phone number is 618-670-6952. We don't have a website. We're kind of moved past websites and just into social media only. So look us up on Facebook.
Very good. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for coming over today and helping us get some, sharing some tips and ideas with us of how to stay healthy through the holidays. Kevin Rysik, owner of Arch Fitness in East Alton, Illinois. Thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word, right here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO. I've got to go do some push-ups.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.